Blog Talk Radio.
All of me sea devils and demons, this is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
You are listening to Full Spectrum Horror.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to experience may be the most exciting night of your life. Your seat will start rumbling. Your heart will start to pound. But don't be alarmed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you came here for. The party starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you loud, live, and direct from the darkest depths of your imagination. Welcome.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
You're Satan, aren't you?
Boy, I could never sit through this without a couple of beers, you know?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing the seventh member of the Village People.
The horror sex symbol, Christopher Hyland.
Not just dancing. He's firming his thighs and tightening his buttock.
Oh, man, this is so bad.
I mean, women just, you know, they gravitate towards me. I mean, I don't understand. I think I have a certain kind of magnetism.
The king of splatterpunk, Eric Morse.
A sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
And now, on with the show.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
On its skin. Else it gets the hose again.
Damn.
like that. That's cool.
Oh, look, Eric Moss wants to join the horsey set. This is it, isn't it? You're not planning to eat, do you?
Okay, guess not. Hello, I'm, let's see, who am I again? Who was, oh yeah, Mr. Burns. And welcome to...
Yeah, by the man of freedom, full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Diz?
I'm ready, Slick, are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Yes, welcome to our pimpin' orgy tonight. I am your host, Mr. Burns, and with me, as always, is Barney Gumble.
Say hello, Bunny.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, scares everybody. It's me, Mr. William Patterson, a.k.a. Eric Morris, the extra, extra sexy fuck man.
Aren't you supposed to burp, too, Barney?
No.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give you a sippy-sippy. I'm having myself a little Folgers tonight. Sippy-sippy.
Okay. Well, I promised you this. I would go fast tonight. No jokes, audience. Oh, God.
Yeah,
okay, all right. So, I will. First up, we'll go through my news very quickly, and I'll probably go through my movie reviews even quicker, because they sucked.
Yeah, so, okay.
Okay, first up is a werewolf movie coming out in September. I've never heard of this until just a few days ago. It's called Blood Moon. And stars a bunch of people I've never heard of, but this looks to be a horror western, which is good because they are very few and far between. And I'll just read the synopsis for you. A stagecoach full of passengers and an Enigmatic gunslinger are held hostage by two outlaws on the run from the law, but events take an unexpected turn and the travelers are stalked by a mythical beast that only appears on the night of a blood-red moon. Oh, that's different. Okay, so look for that September. Step is also a werewolf related story, but this is going to be a TV adaptation series of a comic book called Brooklyn Animal Control. Now, I've vaguely heard about this comic book, I don't know, a few months ago, and then I just put it out of my mind. So this is a, they offer social services for people who are werewolves. Huh. It's different. Does it, let's see, I'm not sure if it says when it's going to be released, but it's, all it says is that they have picked up the pilot. So who knows when that's going to be. Okay, lastly, is when I first saw this last news item, I thought this was going to be an adaptation of an H.P. Lovecraft, but looking at the story more closely, it says that this is a documentary. And this is called The Creeping Garden. It's about a, this is very strange, a slime that appeared in Texas in 1973. And it might make you think of The Blob. Well, maybe. But, of course, it says blob-like substance. Let's see. This will be, let's see, it gives September 30th and October 2nd at these two different film festivals. New York Film Forum, never heard of that, and Toronto's TIFF Bell Lightbox, never heard of that either. And it doesn't say anything about DVD, but my guess is it'll probably be available sometime next year. So, that's all for mine. What do you have, Eric?
Alrighty, I have got three, count them, three Blu-ray releases here. First one is for all you Canadians out there in our fans. Anchor Bay is actually putting out only in Canada the Blu-ray for Wormwood, Road of the Dead. This film is basically what you would call Mad Max meets George Romero. It's about these road warriors who are fighting zombies in the zombie apocalypse. You know, it's amusing. I haven't actually seen it. It's on my list. The only problem with this Blu-ray release is that it has 1.5 audio, and not all the features of the DVD are included. Also, Scream Factory, it is releasing the hard-to-find 1988 film Ghost Town on Blu-ray. If you don't know about this film, here is the synopsis. A dusty ghost town, seemingly abandoned, holds the lives of its original inhabitants in an animated netherworld for 100 years. When a modern-day sheriff deputy is lured to the desolate, spooky ghost town in search of a missing woman, he comes face-to-face with a malevolent spirit from the town's past. The spell of death and suffering over the undead townspeople must end to set them free from eternal pain. The horrors of a possessed outlaw in a time-suspended dimension are only the setting for a frightening battle for the mind, nerves, and flesh. Starring Franz Lutz from The Nest and When Harry Met Sally, a very scary film. Jimmy F. Skaggs of Oblivion and Puppet Master. Catherine Hickland of The Witchery. And Bruce Glover, Diamonds Are Forever, Chinatown, and Walking Tall. Ghost Town is an unnerving white-knuckle walk into the wild, undead west. Alrighty, my final Blu-ray release is actually a favorite of mine. It is I, Madman. If you haven't seen this film, you honestly have to see it. This one was a sleeper from the late 80s, early 90s. And it was about a woman who finds these rare books, these rare horror books, done by this enigmatic author. And the thing is, as she's reading these books, they start coming to life. And the one story, or the one book, I, Madman, is about a scientist who goes and he falls in love with this woman, and because she doesn't, can't love him because he's ugly, he goes and he starts killing people and rebuilding his face. You know, taking like little things like the person's eyes or the person's nose and stuff, and, you know, grafting them to his face. And so this poor woman who's reading this book is finding out about all these murders and stuff, and they're happening exactly like what's in this book that she's reading. So, you know, and this film didn't have any fancy special effects. I mean, hell, there's a monster in it at one point that is done with stop-motion animation, but that doesn't stop it. It has this incredible style to it that is just rare and just incredibly wonderful. The Blu-ray has a bunch of special features, including a rip from the pages, the making of documentary. This is a film that, believe it or not, hard-ass critic Leonard Maltin actually loved. So it's one that I highly recommend for you. So there you go, Mr. Hyland.
Yeah, I saw that one. It was good. I liked that one.
Alrighty. Are you looking forward to Ghost Town?
Ghost Town, what?
The second movie the hard to find one about the Ghost Town.
Oh, that horror western?
Yeah.
I've heard about it. Yeah, I do want to see that one.
Cool.
Okay. Let me just get to my horror reviews. I'm swimming through this torture. Okay. And yeah, I'm sure, or hopefully you'll understand why when you hear the titles, at least from my perspective. Okay. First title is Planet of the Vampires. Now, some of you may like this movie.
I thought it was
below average. It didn't do it for me. Yeah. I mean, it was okay, but of course, it was a B movie, but
about the German science fiction movie about the ship that goes on that planet and the people are killed and reanimated, right?
Yeah, that's the one, the Mario Bava one.
Yeah, oh man, I love that one. That one's a classic.
Oh, I didn't like it. Okay. Basically, this is about two ships. They go into this fog-shrouded planet, and one of the ships, that touches down, everyone in there gets killed, and then the people on the other ship, they investigate, and they find that they killed each other, but later on, they find that their minds are taken over, and they were pushed to do that. And then later on, there's also, they're investigating all this stuff, and there's these weird lights that are floating around, and let's see what else. And of course, one by one, they're killed off, and then they're burying the bodies, and you see their graves being disturbed, and then they're rising out of the graves. And at one point in the movie, they encounter one of the reanimated corpses, and they're talking to them, and they explain, "Oh, we're a race of aliens, and we're trying to find another world to live on." And they want to take over their bodies too to survive. And let's see what else happens.
It sounds good to me.
Oh yeah. Their warp drive or something like that is taken, and they can't leave without it. So two of them try to succeed getting it back. And by the end of the movie, only three of them are left. And I figured this out before it happened. I figured out that two of them were taken over, and there was only one normal person left. I realized that before it happened. It's like, oh, I knew it. And of course, it was obvious that happened, because there was like at least 5 or 7 minutes left of the movie. It's like, okay, they're not just gonna have nothing happen for 7 minutes. I mean, they wouldn't do that. Of course, I was right. They were taken over. The last normal person rebels and tries to sabotage their plans, and he gets electrocuted to death. But the two who were taken over, they managed to reach Earth. And say, oh, they're a primitive planet, but we'll manage to survive. And that's it.
Yep.
Okay. Next is a movie that I find even less of. I don't know if you said that you've never heard of this movie called Ganja and Hess, am I right?
Never heard of it.
Okay. As I understood, it was a zombie movie, but looking at the description, it says it is a vampire movie.
Ah.
Now, the only aspect of that I saw was the main character being a blood drinker.
Hmm.
But of course, you don't see any fangs anywhere, but that happens in other movies too, in other vampire movies. Now, this stars Dwayne Jones from the famous Night of the Living Dead. And one of the things that I found distinctive of this movie, it has a very documentary type of cinematography and style. I mean, one might think it's a documentary, but it's not. It has a very raw documentary style.
Okay.
So we follow Dwayne Jones's character, Dr. Hess. Let's see. he's with this guy in this big mansion who kills himself. I don't know why, but he does. He shoots himself in the chest. And Dr. Hess drinks his blood. And then the guy who killed himself, his wife phones the house asking, oh, where's my husband? Blah, 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 blah. You know, she's all upset. And she comes to visit. And later on, and they get to know each other, the wife and Dr. Hess. And then later on, she goes looking around in the mansion, and she goes in the basement looking for some wine, looks in the meat locker, and discovers her dead husband.
Aha!
But she's only upset at first.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think, oh, you think she'd either leave, call the police, or try to kill Dr. Hess. But no, what does she do? She marries him. Like, oh, you kill my husband, let's get married.
Nice.
And then while all this is happening, well, not at the same time, but before and after, he has an interlude with a few other people, and then he manages to kill them as well. Who, one of them he meets in an apartment, he gets attacked, and then he kills them. And then another person comes to the house, I mean the mansion, and they get killed as well. And then Dr. Hess ends up killing himself, and the wife. It ends with a very kind of a dreamlike sequence where you see looking at the description, I'm remembering the movie, and the movie, it kind of looked like the wife's first dead husband rising out of the pool nude and then running across the back lawn. But looking at the description, it says that the young man, Dr. Ganja, or one of the dead people that was killed before, rose out of the water. It just seemed very dreamlike. And that's how the movie ends. So she survives and everyone else is dead.
And this Dr. Ganja only shows up at the end. So they call it Ganja and Hess, and Ganja's first, and he's at the end.
At the beginning. And okay. Would you believe that this got positive reviews?
Oh, yeah. I can just imagine. I mean, you know, if Jen and Sylvia Soska's films can get positive reviews, yes, you can. I can believe any piece of trash will get positive reviews.
A movie that makes no sense.
Yep.
Good reviews. Unbelievable.
Yep. Nope. Believable. Believable.
And this movie was remade. but I haven't seen that. It was remade by Spike Lee last year, but... I have no intention of seeing that.
Of course you do. Because then you got to do a review and a remake.
It says it was scene for scene and shot for shot remake of it. That doesn't interest me.
No.
If they improved on the story, I would see it. But no, if it was just remaking it and not improving on it, no. Forget it.
What? Nope. Now you got the challenge, Mr. Island.
No. I do not accept.
It's either that or you watch and review Regurgitated Sacrifices.
What's that?
That is Lucifer Zeist's film that the Saskas were in, where it's a puke fetish film with the Saskas.
Oh, that's scary.
Yes, I know it is. Okay, so what's your last one?
Okay, this is actually better than the previous two movies. This is called Without Warning, and the only notable actors in this are Jack Palance and Martin Landau. And this is an alien movie that has inspired the movie Predator.
Mm.
Now, this is about these group of kids. They go camping in the wilderness. Doesn't say where, but somewhere in the wilderness. And one of them is played by David Caruso, but that's beside the point. Two of them get killed, and the other two discover their bodies and three other bodies in this shack, and they hightail it out of there, and before they get out of there, a flying alien, what looks to be a alien ravioli. It latches itself onto the windshield of their van. And then as I'm watching this, they're driving away. It's still sucking itself. You see its pointy teeth, through the window, through the windshield. And then I keep saying in my head, use the windshield wipers, over and over again, until finally the girl sitting there says, use the windshield wipers. And of course they do, and it goes splat. So they go to this bar, and Martin Landau's character is there, and a bunch of other people. And the young guy, he's explaining what happened to them, and then the girl gets scared after she sees the alien, and supposedly it's chasing her, and she runs into Jack Palance's character. And then they go back to the shack where the dead bodies are, but not before they call the sheriff, and then Martin Landau ends up shooting the sheriff, thinking, okay, that's just great. Shoot him, and then they go back to the shack, and then they get separated, and Martin Landau steals the sheriff's car, and then he somehow gets it into his mind that the two kids are have been taken over by the alien. I don't know why he thought that, but he did. And then they get away from him, and they find this abandoned cabin, and then they're holed up in there for a short while until the young guy gets killed by the alien, and then the alien only shows up in the last 8 or 9 minutes. And it... you can tell this is a B movie just by the way the alien looks. So the alien is chasing the girl. Jack Palance shows up again, shooting the alien, and it doesn't really do much. And then they lure it back to the shack, and they end up blowing up the shack and the alien. And the girl's the only one that survives. And that's the end of the movie. Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it years ago, yeah. And the alien, actually, those things were actually part of its body, and it would throw them. Sucker things. Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, they look like raviolis or quiches.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. The moment you started talking about it, yeah, I remember it. Yeah, I like that one. That one was actually pretty good for a B movie.
Yeah, they recently put it on DVD.
Nice.
So for the first movie, I will give it a 4 out of 10. Ganjin has 2 out of 10. And without warning, I will give it a 6 out of 10.
Nice. Alrighty. Now I know you're excited, Mr. Highland. I only got one review today, but my review is of an incredibly fantastic retro horror film, which is called Headless. And it's made up like that it was a lost horror film from 1978, but it's not. It was actually made in 2015, well, actually 2014, but released in 2015, and it was actually the movie Headless is the second film after a film called Bound, which was a horror film that they did, and the same director did, and the thing is that Headless was part of the plot of Found, because the killer in Found was obsessed with the movie Headless. Well, anyways, they decided to actually make the film Headless. So the thing is that this film, which looks like a 1978 slasher film, believe it or not. You know, the way that the film shot everything, the clothing, the actors they choose, everything feels 1978. And this film stars Shane Beasley, Kelsey Carlisle, and Ellie Church. And it's directed by Arthur Colfer. And what this film is about is it's about a killer who wears a skull mask, and he goes around and he kills women. And what he does is he kills women and cuts off their heads. Then he goes and he eats the eyeballs of the women. And he proceeds to screw their head through the neck. Seriously, Mr. Island.
So he's a real Casanova with the ladies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the film, you know, it has a backstory to it. This guy, he was a kid. His mother hated boys. And he had a sister, and they lived in this house, you know, by themselves. And the mother kept him in a cage and treated him basically like a dog. He didn't know how to speak in that. And his sister tortured him. The one time she kept him without water for a while, and when she asked him for water, he goes, and she goes and pees in his face and makes him drink her pee. So anyways, you know, they torture this kid. And the thing is that all of a sudden this paranormal creature shows up. It's like a little kid with a skull head. And he starts talking to him. I mean, he just does it with this clicking sound. But anyways, what ends up happening is eventually the kid gets out. He kills his mother. He kills his sister. He cuts their heads off. Eats their eyeballs because the skull kid tells him to, and screws their heads. And so the thing is that what the skull head guy is he's the grown-up version of this kid. And so there's this subplot with this girl who works at this bowling alley, and he ends up, he grabs her towards the end of the film, her and her friend, and eventually cuts her head off, cuts her friend's head off, you know, eats their eyeballs, and screws their heads, and then switches their heads on their bodies, which are strapped to the dinner table at his house. Exchanges their heads for his sister and his mom's head, and he goes and he sits at the table at the end. It's with this little skull guy, but it's.
He's going to be on the Muppet Show.
And he pours it all over his face and bathes in it and all this. And it's really freaky. And when he eats the eyes, there's like this white goo that comes out of his mouth as he's eating it.
Oh, so this guy's going to be on the Muppet Show in the fall?
No, it's not going to be on the Muppet Show. It's just weird.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. This film, though, I mean, as I said, one of the characters, I don't remember his name, but he was in it, and he's like a YouTube star who does movie reviews. So he's in there, and he looks like out of the 70s. I mean, he's got this long hair and a beard and stuff. And the girls look like it, and it's just very well done. I mean, the special effects, of course, look cheap, but, you know, I mean, you can tell that the heads were made of rubber, but...
Oh, yeah.